Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Aaron Kula.
So I tend to play a lot of concerts, and my band plays klezmer music. Calling it klezmer, it just means that it's associated with the Jewish culture. But the melodies could actually come from anywhere in the world. Over the years, I play for different audiences in different locations, and there was a concert I did in Miami at a place called the Arsh Center, and this concert was performed with my group called Klezmer Company Jazz Orchestra. We played a nice set, and it was really exciting. We played some traditional klezmer, we played some Latin klezmer, we played some jazz klezmer, did it all. Our goal is to connect with the audience, connect with whatever is out there, whoever is out there. And we want to touch people's soul, if it's possible. And our music isn't only for one demographic. It's for all sorts of people from around the world. And I travel around the world a lot, so I pick up ideas from musicians globally. Anyway, we finished playing a nice, wonderful set, and one after another, you know, people were coming up, and oh, I loved it. It was really exciting. I love your violinist. I love the saxophone player. I love the way the accordion sounds. I play the accordion. The drummer and percussionist were really terrific, and it sounds so exciting. And so we have, you know, some of them are white Jewish people. Some of them are black. Some of them are Cuban. Some of them are Latino. So we never know who's going to come up to us, and I never know what they're going to say. But really, a lot of positive feedback, and makes us feel really good. Obviously, it strokes our ego, but that's not what it's about. So somebody comes up to me and says, you know, I don't know anything about your music. I don't know who you are. I don't know any of these melodies. And it was somebody from Cuba, actually, and I've never heard any music like this. But I love the beat, and I love your music, and it speaks to me. And he said, I want your CD, and I'm going to play it all the time for my family. And so here was a non-Jewish Cuban from Miami that had no idea what we were playing but loved the beat, because we were playing klezmer in a salsa style or klezmer in an Afro-Cuban style. And he just went gaga over it. And it was really exciting to hear this person who culturally we had no connection except the music. And then another person came up, and this was a nice Jewish man with his wife. And apparently he had a whole different kind of experience. He came up to me and said, you know, I think this music is terrible. I think this is awful. I think what you are doing is destroying Jewish culture and heritage. And he was very agitated and very upset that we weren't doing the music that he thought was authentic music. At the end of the day, I tried to calm him down. I said, look, music has changed over the hundreds and thousands of years. But he was convinced that what I was doing was destroying the world of Jewish culture. And really what was happening is that I was interfering with his memory of growing up in maybe a small European town or someplace in America in the 1940s and 50s, where he heard klezmer music that was his klezmer music, and he owned it. And so I had to be very gentle with him and tell him that we're really not trying to destroy music. We were trying to reimagine it. We're trying to recreate it so that even more people will love these beautiful melodies. Unfortunately, he wasn't so convinced, and he told me, as he's wagging his finger in my face, I'm never going to come to another one of your concerts again. And I wished him well, and I said, I hope he'll change his mind. So as I was looking beyond the stage into the audience, one aisle I had this Cuban-born Miami resident who was not Jewish, who said, I love your music, it speaks to me. And I had another person walk out saying that you're destroying our culture and our heritage.
Aaron Kula with an unexpected critique.
And he took it so well. It's hard, particularly right after a show, when somebody comes up and gives you some criticism that is not very pleasant. It's hard to keep a smile on your face and not take it to heart.
I could understand where this complaint is coming from doing a folk music show. There's a klezmer tradition that's 1,000 years old, yet here's Aaron taking this tradition and changing it so that it could bother someone who likes traditional music.
Full disclosure, I work with Aaron and I tell stories at several of his concerts. I think that this is a whole lot like what I do when I tell folk tales. In other words, the melody takes on its flavor depending on where you are in the world. So just because somebody from Eastern Europe or from an Eastern European tradition may know klezmer music as one thing, that doesn't necessarily mean it was always that thing. It's very hard as we grow older, and I'm experiencing this myself, not that I'm growing older, of course, it's very hard to accept that what we know isn't necessarily the only thing there is. And what we know isn't necessarily the authentic tradition. It's just what we've come to know.
Well, he wasn't criticizing the skill of the musicians, just the fact that these old stories, in your case, songs in Aaron's case, these old stories could be lost.
Well, there is no such thing as an original version. Everybody puts on it their own spin in a lot of these cases. And if there is an original version, if it goes around the world, then people are going to make it fit. Just like if you have a tortilla in one country, you have a crepe in another country, you have a pancake in another country, it's all the same thing, but it's got the flavor of the country you're in. So that's what folk music is. That's what it means. And this is folk music.
Well, there is an original version somewhere. Somewhere back in time, there's an original version.
Well, nobody knows that the original version of Cinderella because it grew up in many, many countries. So this is what folk tradition is all about. This is what folklore study. And I think that's what Aaron was getting at. I also love, speaking of storytelling.
Well, can I ask you one more technical question?
Of course.
Do you get upset when someone like Disney takes a story like Cinderella and makes it their own?
The difference there is when a person does it or a culture does it, that comes out organically. And another culture is going to do it differently. Another person's going to do it differently. Disney, they do it as a corporation. So they have their corporate agenda. Everybody in the West grows up thinking that's the authentic original Cinderella because of what they call the industrial cultural complex, right? So everybody thinks that's it. Whereas if you hear Cinderella in China, if you hear it in Greece, if you hear it in Russia, I'm not trying to romanticize folklore. They still have agendas, but you can have competing agendas. But how can you compete with Disney? So that's the only concern I have.
So what is Aaron's agenda? He's trying to connect with traditional klezmer and contemporary music?
I don't see it as contemporary music. I see it as Latin rhythms, you know, and jazz rhythms and that tradition. So he's combining the traditions, and that is exactly what storytellers do. I love the way he said, we are connecting, we're trying to get to the heart. So he doesn't want to lecture this man. He wants to connect with this man. Unfortunately, he failed in that one case. The man didn't meet him halfway. But his goal is exactly what the professional storyteller's goal is. It's just that he sounds so good when he does it.
It's exciting hearing Aaron talk about it because he's on stage. He's a musician. He's the arranger and conductor. He's the star of the show.
Well, I think he and his band would like to think they're all the stars of the show. But yes, he is the maestro. You're absolutely right. And he is the voice of the band, and I think he's beautifully represented the goal as he sees it, and that is actually, although this man didn't see it that way, it is a highly ethical goal. Folklore is highly ethical because what we say is we're all the same. We have our own little inflections, our own little this, our own little that, but basically, underneath, all of our traditions are equal, and all of our traditions have meaning, and we can combine them. And I think that's a beautiful sentiment, and I think that's what he was going for. I'm only sorry that that man couldn't see it, but I understand.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. There's a storytelling event coming up?
Yes, it's at FAU's Boca Raton campus, 777 Glades Road. It is on Thursday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. And this is a storytelling slam in celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month. So there'll be refreshments and there'll be prizes, and it's right in the Living Room Theater Cafe.
If our listeners would like to share their South Florida story, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Archive stories and contact information is also available at our website, wlrn.org, Click Radio, and The Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.